Okay, here we go. All right. You have your seatbelts on. You're ready to get going here. We're going to go right on into God's Word. You know, there was a time when we look back through this gospel, there is just so much we can't even comprehend. At least I can't anyhow, half the things that went on in Christ's time. Because He is a death-conquering Savior. You know, I look back at all my sins and all my sorrows and all my griefs. He took all those with Him to the cross. And it was just such a wonderful time to know. Like Paul had said while I was reading Scripture up here, that he looked back there a week before the cross and he wept because he knew what was going to happen. They were going to deny Him. They were looking for, as we look at this Palm Sunday, they were looking for a Savior, a conqueror, a king. They're looking for a war horse to come down the road. And they were amazed to see a donkey, this Jesus, who did nothing wrong. They tried to accuse Him. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You ever had accusers this past week? People looking for faults in you? But it's okay, because my best answer is with their accusation is like, you know what? I'm under the blood of Christ. I'm sorry I offended you. I'm sorry you're upset at me, but please forgive me. Ask for forgiveness with them. Forgive yourself and ask God for forgiveness. Good enough. A good triangle to remember in your relationship with people and God and yourself. So there was Jesus. He came a week before. It was the beginning of Passover, and they were just amazed. We could look at that. We don't have time in John chapter 12. They remembered what happened with Lazarus, and this is important. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Lazarus came out, remember, out of the tomb, bound up. And now the Jewish mindset was like this. Look, they didn't get into embalming like the Egyptians did. They just went ahead and they took the person's body and they would clean it up. They would put oils and spices and things like that in layered strips and they would bound up the body. Now just hold on a minute. Okay? It was different in Lazarus' resurrection than it was with Jesus' resurrection. Because with Lazarus, he wasn't crucified. Okay? Lazarus came out because Jesus said, come forth, and has the whole body. Whole idea is that he came directly out for the power and the force and the grammar and the construction. Came forward. Now, in Jewish burial, what they would do is that they would have a separate piece called the head napkin. And that would be wrapped around the head loosely. Why? Because they believed if a person died, it could have been, this is by superstition, it could have died because of coma. They could have, you've ever heard people coming back to life after they died? Well, that was their superstition. And so they wanted to make sure that headpiece wasn't on tight. It was a separate napkin. And by the way, the Shroud of Turin, that puts that argument to the side. Unfortunately, there is so much idol worship today with people. That's why I was teasing you all about this, about people worshiping that. But people worship anything except God. Why do I need to worship? God's got to tell me that I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I don't want to hear that today. Thank you very much. I'll go to church on Palm Sunday, Easter, and Christmas. Thank you very much. Or maybe the Lent seasons, okay? Or Ash Wednesday. You name them. They're all out there. It's all part of works. So much easier to work your way to heaven, but, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. So, and then the feet were also unbound. So what they would do, the Romans, they would come along and they would look at the body of a crucified person. I'll get into our sermon in a minute. 3 days afterwards, see if they're still alive. And then what they would do after a year, they would go to the crematorium and they burn it up and put it in a pot. okay? And where the body was, they believe where Jesus' body was, they would put it on a shelf. That's why you have shelves in crematoriums. That's why they believe, historians believe, and archaeologists and whoever, they believe, and theologists, that Christ was laid on a shelf. His body was there. Thank God his body was not there, because no one had resurrected yet. He told Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection," when Lazarus was still dead. They didn't get it. See, if you don't understand the resurrection, you've lost it. You don't understand anything. And that all the people at that time, for the most part, did not understand what the resurrection was. Not even the disciples. Mary Magdalene, remember when she went running back to the tomb, had some more spices and so on and so forth. Why? Because the body was decomposing. It was decomposing. And they did that so what the smell from a decomposed body is awful. Something that probably a smell most people never smelled before. It's not a very good thing to smell. So, that being said, the difference between Lazarus and Jesus is 100%. Okay? Lazarus was risen from the grave to show that who Jesus was. He had life over death. Jesus had life over death. And now, as we remember last week, we looked at, you know, his trial, it's a mock trial. And remember the beam he had to carry, that vertical beam. He had to go to Calvary. He had to go outside Damascus Gate, up on the hill, which is only a shout. If you've been to Jerusalem, I haven't, but I have friends of mine have. And they say, literally, you can shout across over there, and there's Calvary. Okay, it looks like a skull. And there were three crosses there. As far as we know, there could have been more, but we only know there was three. There was one of the thieves repented. The other one said, you know, if you say you're God, come on down. You know, come down off that cross. And the soldiers were mocking him, and people were mocking him. And the only ones that were around there was John the Beloved, and there was the four Marys that were there. Okay? So, Jesus, we looked at last week, when he finally said after the seventh saying, it is finished. It's done. Nobody took Jesus' life. He laid it down for us, because every time they tried to take his life, a miracle happened. He would pass through people like they didn't even see him. He was like invisible to them. Okay? So, the religious leaders thought, great, number one, he's out of the way. Number two, Pilate was like, I don't want to get in trouble with Caesar Tiberius. Because next time, and eventually he did get killed. Pilate did, a historian said. He eventually got himself in trouble and his head was chopped off. Okay? Remember, Roman citizens got their heads chopped off, death penalty. Jews were crucified. Others were crucified if you weren't a Roman citizen. So, here we go. And so once Jesus said it was finished, he gave up his spirit, went to the Father. And then, of course, a lot of things happened. And that's why I said, get your seatbelt on, because a lot of things did happen here. Once he said it was finished, according to Matthew's gospel, at the temple, the veil ripped right in half from the top to the bottom. Some people say, well, that's God speaking to people. It was ripped right in half. Right then, the sacrifices were null and void. That was it for the temple. It was over. Then there was, according to Matthew chapter 27, an earthquake happened. The rocks were split. A terrible earthquake happened. I tell you what, if you ever been through an earthquake, it puts a little fear in you there. And the rocks were split. And the result of that is that in Matthew 27, the graves were open. For those who were in paradise, they came up, was resurrected. Remember the time of Lazarus, rich man? You had Sheol, which was the place of the part of the dead. And you had on one side, you had Abraham's bosom. And the other side, you had Hades, those who were lost of being tormented. And then you had those that were resurrected right away. That's why there is power in the resurrection. I tell you what. That's why the Arabs would call it in that day, the place of the skull, the rent. It means because they believe there was a great earthquake. Not necessarily that their God Muhammad or Allah would get them there, but they at least they knew historically. So you had the bodies come out of these from Abraham's bosom and actually walk in the streets of Jerusalem. Say, really? Yeah, it really happened because the Bible said it happened. And they walked about Jerusalem. This is right there. Puts any horror movie to rest, doesn't it? You know, I tell you what, the Bible, if that doesn't put the fear of God into you, it's a different kind of fear, and it's so much bigger. And then, of course, we're just going to go ahead and, yes, and then the soldiers came, and they decided, you know what, we're going to break the legs here. Now, let's pick up here in verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, now the preparation day was when they had taken the lambs. Remember, this is the time of Pentecost, and this is the time of the Passover, excuse me. And they were, people had lined up by the hundreds of thousands, and they were going to go ahead and have their lambs sacrificed before the altar, and they had to be without blemish or spot, and they had to be perfect. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Remember, we're imperfect. I'm sure there's been days this week we've been feeling very imperfect. Lord, I'm a sinner, and Lord, I need your help because I blew it. I just blew it out of the water, but you could protect me, help me. So you had the day here, or the preparation day, and the Jews were getting ready for that night to eat their Passover supper. Okay, and we don't have the time, but each one of the things that they ate was partaking of that Passover. And you probably heard that from other preachers before, I'm sure. But, and then it says here that the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross of the Sabbath. So we're looking back at Deuteronomy 21 and 22 and 23. It says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on the tree. Remember, people called the tree the cross. And his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So you got to understand how a Jewish person thought. They had to get the body off the cross. And it had to been done. They had 3 hours to do it. Because remember, Jesus went on the cross, what, 9 a.m. in the morning to 3 p.m. Remember, from 12 to 3, there was a great darkness over the land. And there was, like I said, the earthquake came. There was one earthquake not mentioned, I said before, and then there was another one. So actually, there were two earthquakes mentioned in the Gospels. So now you have Jesus, who was on the cross, and it says here in verse 31, they had to get the body down because they called it the high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken. So that was typical. They wanted to make sure. It was a very horrible thing to do. Go along with an iron mallet, and they go along. And because we looked at last week, Jesus was in a zigzag position. And because, you know, it was because of suffocation, they would die. They'd go along and they'd say, look, we got to get this body off the cross before sundown. Because that's when, what? The Sabbath begins. And so the Jews wanted to make sure everything was okay with Rome. Rome wanted to make everything was okay with the Jews. They didn't want to have problems there. So there you had the soldiers came along. And it says here in Pilate, the Jews asked Pilate if and their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. And then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they had come to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. and did not break his legs. Again, nobody took his life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our salvation, because death could not conquer him. Hell and Hades or Sheol has no dominion over him. He is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. Over time, we look at life in time. Well, God supersedes time. And if we think about our lives, look, our souls can never die. Our spirits, okay, a lifeless body, the spirit's not there. Okay? So, they went to Jesus, and he had already died. Okay? So, what happens next? But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Around the heart, there is a pericardial sac. Okay? Now, make it very simple, because I don't have a doctorate in the medical terms, but very much basically, the soldiers did that so that they pierced his side where his heart was. If the heart was still beating, blood would come out. But since he was dead, both water and blood came out. And that sac was around the heart, and it filled up with water. Some people say, oh, he died of a broken heart. Well, I would think so too. There are many other medical terms. One was stress, and there were others there that they looked at him, and because of what doctors have looked and tried to understand the body of Jesus Christ, he went through total torment for us. And because of that blood being mixed with water, okay, he was already dead. And so there also, too, his lungs would fill up with fluid. That would happen as well. So you had Christ is already dead. That's my point. Okay? And so I am very sure they were very happy about that. You know, we need to pray for people that don't take death seriously. We need to pray for them, because everybody has their time. There are miracles upon miracles upon miracles in this assembly right now. There are miracles online. The people should have been gone a long time ago, but God's kept them around. I really believe it's because God is still not done with us yet. And he has a purpose for us. Until that time's ready, his time is ready. So the soldiers pierced the side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and this is talking about John, the writer here, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that ye may believe. Why was this gospel written? That ye may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deity. He is God's Son. It doesn't call it that because it's more of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, that you may believe that God came down to this earth, be born of a virgin into this world to what? Die for our sins. And it was because of that you have what is known today as our salvation, because without Jesus coming, the sinless Lamb of God, remember John said to Jesus as he was coming to be baptized, John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was that perfect Lamb of God. So, these things were written that you may believe, John says in verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture would be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look at him at whom he has, that they have pierced. Going out of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and Psalms 34, 20. So, you had this was what's going on. It was certified. It was known at this point. This is so important, this message. There are a lot of things important, what I'm saying, but this is so important that it was certified under the Roman government that this Jesus of Nazareth from Galilee was dead. He was dead. It was finished. It was over. And then we see quite an interesting thing going on here, that you have Jesus' burial. And then after this, Joseph of Arimathea. Now, it's interesting with him. He was a member of the Sanhedrin now in Mark's gospel. He was a very rich man, too, in Matthew. And Luke's gospel says that he was looking for the kingdom of God. So the man's heart was in the right place. And I pray today that our hearts are in the right place. That when we got saved, that we have that same spirit of excitement and joy and love. And don't let this world just push you down. And let me tell you what, if there's more of a time than anything else, we're seeing more and more of Satan's activity around this world today. Because, especially for the older saints, because we're the ones that have to pass this on. Joseph knew that he had to pass this on too, because he believed. We believe by faith. And what happened with Joseph? He says, you know what? At the base there of Golgotha is where the tomb sits today. And it was a brand new hewn out tomb made of limestone. By the way, limestone is the perfect place for keeping food and drink and so on and so forth. Limestone, they believed that Jesus, when he couldn't find a place in Bethlehem, that he was born in a cave because it was a perfect place. That's where they would put animals. A limestone cave was also where his body was. And so, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for the fear of the Jews, of course, that would happen. There was only a small pocket full of people that believed in Jesus. And they could have lost everything. But they were smart. They kept ahead of everything. Asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So Pilate was like, yeah, go ahead and take this Jesus off my hands. Because I had already been, the priest had already at this time, according to Matthew chapter 7, were concerned that somebody was going to steal the body. Was going to steal the body of Christ. And what would happen with that? Was this, oh, then they believe in this resurrection. Because Pilate was still struggling with this. I'm sure Pilate's wife was struggling with this too. I wonder if this Jesus is for real, this strange God, this strange Jewish man, calls himself the King of the Jews. I don't know. So Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night. Remember John chapter 3? Nicodemus the Pharisee, one of 600 at the time, he came because he was a doctor of the law. He needed law inside and out. Joseph was, you know, part of the Sanhedrin court. These guys knew what they were doing, but they didn't want to get caught. And so you had here Nicodemus who came along. And also came bringing a mixture of myrrhs and oils and about 100 pounds. That's a lot because it was a sign of worship. They didn't want Jesus' body. It was going to decay, right? But they didn't want it to smell. So that was the whole idea. They did not get into, embalming a body like the Egyptians did. Okay, they just took the body and they wrapped it up, and eventually it would be burned up in about a year's time, like I said earlier. So all this was put into straps and different pieces of cloth to go around Christ's body. It would be soaked in it. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen and spices, as a custom of the Jews is to bury. And now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. You know, have you had your garden experience lately? Have you come to the garden alone? Well, the dew is still in the roses, you know. Have we had that experience getting up early in the morning and just praying? I don't know why somebody was praying for me at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up. I said, somebody's praying for me. And I just remember Romeo was asleep. Kimberly was asleep. I was like, good, I can be left alone. Sure enough, Romeo gets up too. But you know what? It's good to get alone with the Lord. It just makes you clean all over. It just purifies you. It keeps you like, you know, there's somebody else here. Holy Spirit's talking to me. And by golly, I'm in the best place I can be right now. So keep on praying for one another. I hope you don't have to get up at 2 or 1, but I think you're most asleep anyway. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden, a new tomb, which no one had yet been laid. Like I said, remember back in the 1800s, Gordon's Calvary, they discovered the wine press, the olive press, and the garden, and other things they discovered out there. It was all in the same area. You can even visit it today. Beautiful place where Jesus would go and he would pray. And so there was a new tomb, which there had to be cut out, which was there in preparation, in which no one had yet been laid. Verse 42, and there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day. And remember, this sinless, perfect body. Not one bone was broken. Every prophecy had come true. And the problem is with the people of the day as well as today, nothing's new under the sun, folks. People don't read the Word of God. They are ignorant and they have no idea. They trust a priest or a pastor, like I tell the people over there at Evan. I said, don't trust a pastor or a priest or a padre or whatever, or a church, whatever. I said, trust God's Word. There you go. You know, if a five-year-old can understand the Word of God and get saved, then people can get saved. Never too old. Clock keeps on ticking, but God has that in control too. And so it says here, because of the Jews' preparation day for the tomb was nearby. So here you go. Everything was lined up. And if that wasn't enough here, that, you know, they had to get the body in the tomb before the Sabbath. And you figure 3 hours would have been enough time. Oh boy, that was cutting it close. Because what happened, by the way, what happened to John, the beloved, when Jesus said to him, behold, you're my mother. John was supposed to take care of Jesus' mother, Mary. And he said to Mary, Jesus' mother, to his mother, behold thy son. Now, it's interesting. We're going to look here in a minute. Two things. One, when Jesus was being crucified, it says that the group that stayed behind stood afar off. They looked because you had a crowd of people up there just making fun of Jesus, saying, Jesus, if you say you're the Son of God, come on down. But yet you had the same group of people left. And out of that one group of people was Mary Magdalene. And believe it or not, this lady was saved from 7 demons. You ever took a course in demonology, which I would not suggest you do unless you're going to seminary and you're bathed in the blood, and if you're, you know, because the Bible says you're better off learning about righteous things instead of unrighteous things. But a couple things I did learn, Dr. Merle Unger has a lot to say about this, but demonology, I mean, there's a lot of demonic activity going before the flood, okay, times of Noah. And then there was a lot of demonic activity going on at the time of Christ. That's why you had Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. There's a lot of demonic activity. and also right at the time of the tribulation, prior to the tribulation, and during the tribulation appeared a lot of demonic activity. So people often ask, well, why does Mary have seven demons? Well, you know what? God, in his infinite wisdom, saved this lady. And guess what? He saved each one of us. And you know what? Mary was the very first one who actually went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene. And she was also the very first person to see Jesus, as we'll look at next week. Thought that Jesus was a gardener, you know? And sometimes God has things right there in front of us and we just don't see it yet. That's okay, because he'll show it to us sooner or later. Chapter 20, and then it says, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still day. No, while it was still dark, excuse me. So you had at 6 in the morning. You had the Sabbath had come and gone, okay? Now remember that you couldn't work on the Sabbath. You couldn't even leave your home on the Sabbath. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath, okay? And remember, like I said last week, you had the time is different out there in the Middle East, especially with the Jews. They started their day at what? 6:30 in the morning till what? 6:30 the next day. That was one day, Thursday. Then there's 6:30 to 6:30 Friday and 6:30 to 6:30 Saturday into Sunday morning. So Christ rose at early in the morning. Okay, sometimes it gets people confused, but our Western time is different than theirs. Okay, so Christ did not die on Good Friday. He died on a Thursday, their time. Okay, but really, who cares about that, right? Really, people don't care about that. So the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Interesting. Here she goes. It says in other accounts in the gospel, she brings spices and things because she thinks Jesus is still dead. He's still in the tomb. She doesn't understand the resurrection. Then she ran. And then once she got there, and it says in the other gospels that she realized that the body wasn't there. Okay. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken him away, the Lord, out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him. So what she's saying to both Peter and John, she's saying, look, they've taken his body. If they stole the body, then they could say the resurrection never happened because it's all about the resurrection. Remember, she went there and there were two angels and they said, you know, hey, as in another gospel, Jesus is not here. But that happens later on. Then they had taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. So obviously they were excited. They were like, has he really resurrected? We got to see this. You got to understand, John was younger. A lot of expositors think that's why he got there first. But again, I don't think it really matters. But I think through the Holy Spirit, we ought to be excited about seeing what God's doing in our lives. And we need to be looking into things ourselves and in his word. And we need to realize what God has done in his own time. And what kind of resurrected life do we have? You know, he gives us the strength when we have no strength. So he's stooping down and looking and he saw the linen cloths lying there. It did not go in. It's interesting, if the body was stolen, then why would the cloth be laying there, right? If somebody's going to steal something, most thieves will just run in, grab something, and run right back out. They would have grabbed that body. Why would they take off certain parts of what was wrapped around Jesus' body? So it makes no sense. Why would the body be stolen anyway? You had a guard out there. You had a seal of Rome on there. And if that happened, that was instant death. As we found out, look at next week, there were six soldiers that were as dead. They were laying there as dead. They were so paralyzed with fear. Have you ever been paralyzed with fear where you can't even move? Some of us have been there, done that. That's happened. Weird experience to have, but you're just laying there and you're like, I can't even move. Some sort of fear comes over. I think that's satanic in a sense. I think that's a spiritual fact, but I'm not going to go there. But what happened was that, okay, the body wasn't stolen. It's impossible for it to be stolen. And then you had here, and he's stooping down, looking into, saw the linen cloth, went into the tomb, and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that was about around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together and placed by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. So they believed. The idea of belief is that they believed that it was gone. They didn't believe in the resurrection yet. They didn't understand until Jesus appeared to them. And remember Thomas, who's called the twin, the double, because a lot of expositors believe that Thomas and Jesus looked the same. That's why they called him the twin. So right away, you get this going on, and they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And that's referring to Psalm 16:10. And then the disciples went away again into their own home. So they went away and they were confused. They were totally like, I don't understand this. But you have Peter and John, you have Mary Magdalene, and you'll have the other women we'll look at next week that come back, that they experience, oh, Jesus met Jesus on the road of Emmaus. And they're in the upper room, and Jesus passes through the wall, and there's Christ. So that's a spiritual body. They thought they'd seen a ghost. No, it's a body like you and I have, but it's a spiritual body. Okay? So after one looks at all this, you start thinking about the death-conquering Savior. He was manifested in his dying. He was manifested in his burial. He was manifested in his resurrection. But are we committed to his death, burial, and resurrection? His death on the cross, he was buried, he rose again. This time he had risen, but nobody had seen him yet. It was a big mystery to them. You know, the church is called the great mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. It was not ever mentioned in the Old Testament, the church wasn't, until what? Christ died on the cross. Time of Pentecost happened, the church began, and when does the church age in? At the time of the rapture. Okay? So, that being said, are we committed to his death, burial, and resurrection? Number one, as we close, in fulfillment of prophecy. Looking at John chapter 19, verses 35 and 36, where it says here that he who has seen, has testified, and his testimony is true. He who knows, he is telling the truth so that you may believe. We believe by faith. As simple as that. What gets us going in the morning? What turns our light bulb on in our head in the morning? It's the Spirit of God gets us going, gets us functioning through the Holy Spirit. And we pray throughout the day. Pray without ceasing that you what? Are not led into temptation. Jesus said that twice in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we need to pray. Stay away from all issues of the world, flesh, and devil. So it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Every prophecy was fulfilled. Number two, casting your rejection, your religion, and your riches. Costing you rejection, your religion, and your riches. People are rejected in the society, wherever they are, because of Christ, and then also their religion. They can't go to the same church that they went to before when they were growing up. It happened to me because of false doctrine. And number three, it may cost you your paycheck. It may cost you your job because of the way things are going on with woke and everything else is happening here. It's very, very hard for people to deal with this. And my heart goes out to them. So we look at the rich young ruler. Jesus says, sell everything that you have. Come follow me. And he was upset. He was downtrodden because he realized he had much. He was a religious man. He would have been rejected from his society and he would have lost his riches. Very tough decision. And I pray as times get tough with us today, we'll remember what we're saved from. And then number three, in losing temporarily, but yet you gain eternity. Remember, it says in Mark 8:38, what if a man gains the whole world, but what, loses his own soul? You may have something temporarily, but you know what? For us older saints, we know time is going by quick. I hope this week went by quick. I hope it did. Some people may be slower. But you know, just one thing we've got to keep in mind is that we're excited about what the Lord is doing. We're holding on to our faith so that we may gain eternity. And there are people that are losing their souls today. As we close with this, I'd like to have our musicians to come up now. And I want you to think about, my dear brethren, those who are just thinking for the moment, those who are just grasping for the world, those who look at their lives and thinking, oh, I don't want to give up. Well, yeah, let me give you a time of comfort. This season and always in the seasons, think about what Christ gave up. He gave up everything for you and I. He gave up his fellowship with the Father too because he became sin. And we can't comprehend that. I understand that. But one thing we can comprehend is his love. His love covers a multitude of sins. He was willing to forgive Pilate. He was willing to forgive those that beat him. He was willing to forgive those who put this crown of thorns on his head. He was willing to forgive those who put that purple robe on him and then just ripped it off of him and beat him more. He was willing to forgive what? Those people that rejected him. They were saying at Palm Sunday, they were saying, oh, Hosanna, save us now. Here comes the king. And he came riding on a lowly donkey. Came as a servant. And he could have come in as a war horse and taken over, but he had a plan of salvation because he was made the perfect sinless sacrifice on that cross. Perfect and holy for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, your salvation, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, your majesty, your honor, your glory forever and ever. But we pray, dear God, that as people who were standing in that crowd on Palm Sunday, they realize what the temporary is and what the eternal is. It's like I've said before, that you looked back at it and you were grieved because these same people turned against you. Pray here today if there's anybody here who's had somebody turn against them in their family. You're here and you're a Christian today as an invitation. And you're heartbroken because they've turned on you. They've gotten mean and ugly to you. They've hurt you. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. And then number two, for those who aren't saved, remember you're angry only because you're angry at yourself and your life, and you're angry at God because you can't get what you want. And Jesus Christ is the only thing that you need. There's a difference between want and need. There's a need much more important than just want. You need forgiveness. You need salvation. You need to believe what Christ did on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. You need to believe that he loves you. Put yourself aside today and ask him into your heart and ask you by faith to forgive you, to take away your sins and to come into your life by faith alone, through grace, through salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's a personal experience, a personal relationship. And once you do that, you won't stop telling people what he has done in your life. A big difference between works salvation and by faith salvation. We just ask you these things and pray, Lord God, we'll continue to remember the cross and what you did for us. In Jesus' name, through his blood, pray, amen.